All right, let's do it. Welcome to Paranormalish. This episode, I've got a special guest named Maggie Lindemann. If you're a fan of Maggie, she's awesome, by the way. If you're not familiar with Maggie's music, man, jump on that for sure. We recorded this, God, I forget exactly when we recorded this, in the middle of the pandemic. I forget when it was. But Maggie, I had been contacted by, you know, a friend of mine that works with Maggie's label. And he said, you got to get Maggie on the podcast. Now, I've talked to Maggie before about music because I do a radio show in LA on Kiss FM, you know, and we had crossed paths doing that. He said, you got to get her on the podcast. I'm like, what's her paranormal story? So we start throwing emails back and forth. And Maggie was talking about, you know, I'll let her explain everything, but it was some interesting stuff. Stuff that she'd like to figure out what it is. And I would like to figure out what it is too. So I contacted a friend of mine who is a psychic medium named AJ Barrera. And he jumps on this podcast and we get into all this stuff. And at the very end of the podcast, something interesting happens that has nothing to do with Maggie or with me. Big shout to producer Tara. You'll hear all about it at the end. But here we go. Let's do this. I call this episode, Does Maggie Lindemann Have a Poltergeist? Enjoy Paranormalish.
JoJo on the Radio presents Paranormal-ish.
All right, Maggie, you are you ready for this?
Yes.
I am pumped to have you on. Maggie Lindemann, I know she didn't come on to talk music, but if you guys haven't heard her album, Paranoia, you're going to be I know you've got a lot of stuff going, but you're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the very near future. I'm just so blown away by what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All this, everything about this podcast, you know, Paranormalish, is about the paranormal. So I reached out to Maggie and she sent me an email back, you know, kind of, you know, going through some of the experiences she had. And I thought, well, I've got some questions about these and I'm sure you do too. So I thought I would bring on my buddy who is a psychic and a medium. I think I'm giving you the right intro, AJ. He's seen some wild stuff. I mean, he can talk to the other side. It's just bizarre and exciting and frightening at the same time. AJ Barrera, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on. I love talking about this work, as you know, and I post some crazy videos about some of the stuff, too, that I've experienced on some of my investigations. But thank you for having me on, for sure.
Absolutely. Maggie, I saw a thing he did just the other day. It was, I don't know who you were talking to. I didn't see the full clip, but I saw just a piece of it, you know. And he's sitting there on the couch talking to some couple. I don't know who knows. And all of a sudden, the front door just opens.
Yeah, that was actually... That was actually a murder investigation that I've been working on for the last 3 years with law enforcement and also privately as well with different investigators. And we were talking to the best friend of the murder victim. And basically, we were there talking about the case. And when she said the case is still open, the door magically opened at the same time when she said that. And we were like, holy, you can see my reaction on my face. I was truly blown away. Like, oh, my God.
Oh my God, that is insane.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, it's madness. All right, Maggie, let me start with you. Let's run through your stories. I know you have one about the and maybe this is something, like you said on the email that you sent to me and your label mate. Maybe this is something, maybe it's nothing. I don't know. But the story about the door that got locked. Yeah. And just run through that if you can.
Okay, so this sounds so dumb, but I watched this movie called VHS, and it's like this scary movie, and it's like just really weird. And I watched it, and I love scary movies. Like, I watch so many scary movies, but this scary movie like really messed me up after the fact. Like, just like going to sleep and stuff, I was so scared. So I watched this movie, and like I wake up, I don't remember if it was like the next morning or like a couple days later, and I wake up and, you know, I'm just like waking up like a normal day. I go to my kitchen and I go to like open my door, and it's like stuck, like my handle wouldn't move, and my lock is like one of those like push locks, so like if you go and grab it and just like move it, it just opens automatically, like it'll just, you know, like move. And it was like stiff, like someone was like holding it from the other side. So then I like freak out and I call my mom and like, oh my God, I think someone might be in my apartment. And I had like a balcony that was connected to my room, to my living room. And then there was like this big window that you could like see into the kitchen. So I walk out there and I look and no one's there. So I walk back into my room and I try to open it again. It's like the same thing. It's like stuck or something. So I go out and I go into my kitchen and I try to open it and it's like stiff, like it's locked from the inside also. So I'm like, okay, my handle's just broken. But then I walk back around and I try to do it again and it starts wiggling. So it's like wiggling. It was just weird. I don't know. So I went back around again and it just opened, like the door, like it just opened. And I was like really freaked out. I was like, what is going on? And then my door, like on the side, had like these three little like scratches. And I was like so freaked out. I was like, either my door was jammed and like something weird happened, or like, I don't know, this movie's like haunting me or something. So for days after that, I literally was like barely home and I was playing like this like Christian music throughout my house. And I was like lighting these like, you know, those candles with like Jesus on them. And I was like, so.
Well, that's good. That's how we do it, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, there's an evil spirit in my house and Jesus is going to get him out of here. But that was like, that thing has stuck with me because I'm like, it was just so weird. Like, it was just such a weird situation.
And did you say after that, maybe after that, water kept turning on and off, something along those lines?
Yeah. So in my other bathroom, like water would just randomly, like, it wasn't like a trickle. Like it wouldn't just be like, ding, ding. It would be like, and then it would stop. So it was like a stream of water, like not like a lot of water, but just like a little stream. And then it would just stop. And that happened like, I think 2 or 3 times. And yeah, I eventually moved out because I was like, there's something going on in here. And also like someone had just died in the, not the apartment above mine, but like the floor above mine. So I was like, nah, we gotta go.
That was my next question is, was there a history to the apartment? Clearly right up there.
Yeah. Someone had literally just died.
All right. So AJ, I brought you on because, you know, I'm guessing a lot of people have experiences like Maggie. You know, sometimes there's an experience where it's undeniable. Like there's something, my bed is levitating. That's crazy. But
right.
I would imagine more times than not, it's kind of like Maggie said, there's something extremely odd going on. I can't explain it. How do you know if it's something? Basically, what I'm getting to is I want us to learn how to communicate with the other side. I know this is probably a crash course, so to speak, figuring this stuff out. I know you have classes on this and whatnot, but give us the crash course. Because how she's there, she's freaking out. I mean, she's done everything. Common sense, the door should open. It opened the day before. It opened the day after. This one day is crazy. Got the scratches on it. Maybe it's nothing. But how can she learn to, and how can I learn to, and anybody listening to this, communicate, figure out what that is? What's the next step?
Yeah, so a couple things that we want to do is that when we want to bridge that connection to the afterlife or the spirit world, if you're, you know, afraid of it or you're discouraged by it, you know, do not have fear. If you have fear, then it's going to take on that energy, basically. So we become very vulnerable and the energy will kind of quote unquote attach, and we're not calling it an attachment, but they'll see that as an opportunity to connect with you. Now, with Maggie's situation, you're sensitive. You're an empath where you feel emotion, you sense things. So you can actually walk into a room and know what someone's going through or what they're feeling like or what they're thinking. And I feel like with the energy that you were living in or that apartment is that you were already bridging that connection because we were sensing things and feeling things. And the fact that you gave that energy attention, they were trying to get to you to use that communication to bridge that connection or use that energy in a stronger way. So the way that we can communicate with those spirits is by talking to them directly, like having a conversation with us today. So it sounds crazy, but it's about acknowledging them, saying like, hey, you do not belong here. Go to the light, or you're not welcome here. It's being direct and having control of that. If you do not take control, again, you become vulnerable in that situation. Oftentimes, I try to teach people in my beginners workshops or just people in general is that meditation is key. Meditation could be prayer. Meditation could be playing music, listening to music to drop that energy and close that door or open and close those chakras. So it's about grounding and protecting yourself. And once you ground yourself and protect yourself, you'll be fine in that situation. But it takes time to build that connection and hold that stamina with energy in general. Now, the creepy thing about your case, Maggie, and not to freak you out, I feel like this is more of a poltergeist activity, not a ghost, not a spirit. The reason why is that one, anytime you have knocks or bangs or scratches, typically they come in three or two. It's always in three, which is Holy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So they'll come in that way. So it's usually the Trinity that we see. So if there was three scratches, it could represent something poltergeist.
No! Often,
yep. Yeah. So I don't want to freak you out, but I really believe that. And I've seen cases like this, and it's not a common thing, especially because they were playing with your door and they were locking your door. And there was a lot of things that were happening, like bumps in the night, or two, your water turning on and off. Now, we also have to look at water being a conductor. Water holds energy. So when they use that, it's a form of energy that they're using to kind of make themselves known. So I really believe it's not just the old man or the old lady from upstairs that was haunting your place, which I would love to encourage you and say, yeah, that's what it was. But I don't think so. I really believe it's actually something more of, like, I don't say evil, but something trying to get your attention. Because typically with poltergeist activity, they like to open up cabinets and doors and lock them or move things. And we kind of call these things apports, where basically things will kind of appear out of nowhere, or you find things that are moved where you're like, where are my keys? And you know, you specifically left your keys on the door or on the table. Now they're moved somewhere else in your bedroom. So I really believe there's a strong connection that you have naturally, spiritually speaking, that I think sometimes you freak yourself out. So I hope that kind of answered your question in a whole, Jojo.
A couple of questions from Maggie based on that. Have you noticed that you've had the ability to sense things? Maybe didn't know what they were at the time, but, or maybe you do, I don't know. But has that been a gift of yours?
I mean, I have like extreme paranoia, which is why my EP is called Paranoia, but I have like extreme paranoia, and I constantly think I can feel someone watching me, or like see things out of the corner of my eye, like shadows and stuff. So like, I always am like, I've like talked about it like on my Instagram before, and people are like, you know, maybe you're actually sensing something that is there. So I've heard about that, but I don't know. It always like kind of freaks me out. So I'm like, nope, I'm just paranoid. Nothing's there. It's just me like being crazy. But yeah, I've always like felt, I don't know, like I can feel like people looking at me or something.
AJ, when people think they have, like, let's talk Maggie specifically, senses mm-hmm. something from the corner of her eye, not sure what it is. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it is. How do you take that next step? And what are the dangers to jumping into it more seriously?
Yeah. So with you, Maggie, in this situation, or for anyone that's seen like an image, or we call them shadow people, typically it's actually your spirit guide or your spiritual guides or angels around you. It's not so much always a loved one or an entity or a spirit per se. So when they're around you, they're trying to get your attention to say like, pay attention, or they're trying to give you a message. So say for instance, Maggie, that you're busy, you know, or you're writing a song, or you're creating music, or you're drawing, and all of a sudden you kind of get this image or get this feeling like someone's standing behind you or next to you. It's that guide trying to get that connection to you to say like, hello, they're there working with you or encouraging you. I wouldn't be fearful of that, but I would really encourage of, again, embracing communication. And sometimes that information will come through as more of a thought in our head rather than something that we're hearing out loud. So when you're in these moments and you feel these shadow people or sense them, it's most likely your guides or angels. And I don't think it's a loved one, unless a loved one in spirit that pops in your head. You're like, oh, that's uncle, or that's grandma or grandpa. If that's the case, typically it's their way. So anytime that we have to go to a place of ego and we have to dissect it, usually it's because it's ego. It's not something spiritual, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. That's so crazy.
How do we know when it's a thought versus when it's a spirit? How can you tell the difference?
Spirit comes in right off the bat. It's more of intuition, where you don't have to think about it. When you have to think about it and judge it and dissect it and tear apart, that's part of ego that's coming in. Typically, it's like same thing with intuition or having the gut feeling. Like when we have a gut feeling in our stomach, we're like, oh, I should not really take that job, or I should not really make this, you know, decision of going to this party or this event. And you still do it and you realize that there's consequences with that, or an issues that happen. It's the same thing where you just have to listen to that feeling. The thing that with us is that we're so busy with our everyday life that we don't listen to those subtle messages. And it can be very subtle, where it's just a thought, where it's just kind of like, oh, am I thinking that? Or is it actually intuition? When you don't have to think about it, that's where intuition comes in, or your guides communicate with it.
That poltergeist that you had, well, you think it's a poltergeist that, I don't want to freak you out here. The potential poltergeist activity, which was happening in her apartment, did it stay in that apartment? I mean, clearly nothing's happened in the new place, right, Maggie?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
good. All right. So for example, that poltergeist, most likely it's attached to that apartment for obvious reasons. Okay. Maybe the neighbor upstairs and what? Okay. Because I know sometimes places are haunted. Sometimes people
to my understanding, right, AJ?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. A lot of places are haunted. I mean, a lot of homes, a lot of properties, businesses, even people, quote unquote, are haunted. They carry on negative energy or attachments at some point. And some people like have a case of bad luck, or there's a case of situations that happen here in our own personal life. But I feel like that the way that we can clear that energy, and even with you, like Maggie or anyone else that's listening to the podcast, is that if anyone's having like some sort of toxic energy or a lot of things that are happening or bumping or banging at night, I don't always encourage to light sage, but I always encourage to light Palo Santo, which is basically like holy wood. And it's about clearing the energy or toxic energy, or just having the energy calm down. And plus it's not as musky or smelly as the sages. So I think it's about us really coming together and recognizing that we're in control of that energy. But also with investigations itself, sometimes we can bring home that energy into our own house, our new place, our place of working, you know. So we have to be aware of that, which is grounding and protection is key to any spiritual development and developing this work itself.
Hey, Maggie, have you ever been to, I know you've recorded in quite a few places, I would imagine. Some studios have quite the history, you know, musicians that have passed on over the years. I've heard so many studios with these stories. Have you come across any studios that may, you know, have something like that in their history?
I tend to work out of like houses, and when I do go to the studio, it's usually like the same studio. So I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've been to, I mean, I might've been to a studio that was haunted, but not that I know of, but I've been to like hotels and stuff for sure.
That's one reason why I like talking to artists about the paranormal and being in haunted stories, because you guys, the hotel thing, because you tour around quite a bit, but you know, you tour around and some of these places have this crazy history. So, all right, we'll leave that there. Any questions before I go on to my next, any questions to him, Maggie, anything you want to know, or should I just move on to my, I'm going to bring up the Ouija board.
No, I think that's all for now, but I probably will have questions in a little bit.
All right.
Can I ask Maggie something real quick?
Sure.
Maggie, is that a mirror behind you? Just yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you collect a lot of mirrors in your house, or do you have like a lot of mirrors throughout your whole house?
I don't have that many. I have like one big one in my kitchen that's like on my wall. It's like connected to the wall. And then I have the bathroom. And then this one is like connected to the wall also. Like I can't.
Okay. I'm just going to put this out there, and it's nothing weird, but I always tell people when you have large mirrors, sometimes that becomes an opening or a door to the other side or to energy. So I always tell people to kind of, yeah, not to freak you out, but I really believe, like, again, just buy some Palo Santo online off Amazon. You can get like a big packet of it for like $5.
I got a pack.
Good. Good.
Yeah. And that's all I wanted to ask, but nothing to freak out about. But typically I think you're just very sensitive to this energy, why you feel like people are always watching you around you, because it could be an opening, but again, it might just be more of your spirit guide. So just know it comes from good light and good energy.
Is it a gift?
Should I like cover my mirror? Would that help?
No, you don't have to do that. No,
you don't.
Oh my God. Hey, Maggie, I don't know this question goes to both of you guys. Would you consider the gift that you have, AJ, and the potential gift that Maggie has? Maybe she hasn't really exercised that muscle as much as you have, clearly, but, or maybe you don't want to, I don't know, but is it a gift or is it a curse to have that ability?
Yeah. So for me, it's more of just an ability. You know, I think, you know, I don't like to use the word as a gift per se, because I think we all have this natural ability, and some people call it a gift, but I do believe it comes from a higher power. If it's God, divine, a higher source, it comes from good light. And I really believe with some of us that do have the ability that want to tap into it, sometimes we're freaked out by it because some of the things that we feel, sense, and hear, or what we see. And sometimes we shut that off because it freaks us out. I don't think it's a curse. I love what I do. More importantly, I love teaching this work. I love spreading awareness about this work. I love bringing healing to this work. So the work, even though there might be some paranormal stuff, a lot of it is paranormal, and there's entities and demons and poltergeists and all these different things. It's about documenting the paranormal. So I don't think it's a curse. Some people will freak out because some of the things I've experienced over the years, physically and spiritually. And I don't wish it upon people, because people think you're crazy or you're messing with the devil. And I think people have to also understand that it comes from good light and good energy, and I'm grounded and protected. So I think it's about us really being open and receptive to that information. But you can be at any age. You can be 80 years old and develop that ability. But it's something that I feel like that you need to be aware of. You need to be grounded, and you need to know that what you're doing is not just for yourself, but you're actually bringing in energy from other people physically and spiritually. So it can be very draining. I think that's the only I guess, downfall to it. If you do the work a lot and you're not recharging or taking breaks, you can be very drained mentally and spiritually, where the next day it feels like a freight train has hit you.
Maggie, do you would you like to exercise that muscle, or is it something you want to kind of push to the back of the room?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I would love to like know more about it. And I'm definitely trying to get more into like spirituality and stuff like that, and like meditation and all that stuff. So I don't know. I think it's really interesting, and I would definitely love to know more about it. I just would hate to be like, oh, hey, and then it's like a demon. You know what I mean? So I think it's just like, I need to like know more about it before I just try to exercise it. And then all of a sudden, like I'm possessed, you know?
So. Yeah, that'd be good. We regret to inform you that Maggie Lindemann has been possessed by.
Yeah.
Right.
New album has been postponed.
Yeah.
New album will be possessed.
Yeah. Like, oh my time being possessed.
Yeah. All right, let's go. This is the word that this freaks everyone out. Yeah, but it's another form of communication. They frighten me. I don't even know why. They just frighten me. And you can buy them at Toys R Us. You know, you can buy Barnes & Noble, all the Ouija board. It is a form of communication that can be maybe good. I don't know. I've heard some awful stories about it. Maggie, have you played with the Ouija board before?
I did like once as a joke, like a long, long, long time ago. But no, I have. I've never like actually tried to use one.
All right. Here's some stories I've heard. Then AJ is going to, you know, give us the lowdown on it. And I can't say for sure these stories are true. People call me on the phone lines at the radio station. I do a radio show at Kiss FM in Los Angeles, if for those of you who don't know that part of it. But people call me because I talk about this from time to time. This lady called me once, and she said, or this guy called me once, and he said him and his friend and his friend's mom went to a graveyard with the Ouija board. And they, you know, they do their thing. They open it up and things start getting a little crazy. And the planchette sticks to this lady's hand, like it almost like melted around her hand. Now there was no fire, none, and they ended up going to the ER. I don't know how it ended. He could be lying to me. That's one story. Heard another story where a lady goes to the flea market, and she goes to buy this, you know, older Ouija board. And her name was, I forget her name, but it was spelled very unique. In other words, let's say her name was Kim, but it wasn't K-I-M. It was like K-Y-M-M-E, something like that. She gets the Ouija board. She, you know, gets it to the car, and they open it up. And on the back of the Ouija board, it says property of K-Y-M-M-E.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
What do I mean? Yes, it's possible that somebody else has that name and crazy spelling, or not, you know, very, yeah. But she's, of course, she's a little freaked out. And I've heard multiple stories where something happened. Somebody got possessed. You try to burn the Ouija board, you know, and the Ouija board, it appears back in the house. I had one guy tell me he threw it out of a car, you know, on the I think it was the 90 freeway. The Ouija board is back in his house the next morning. So these stories are frightening. AJ, what is the deal with the Ouija board?
Yeah, so there's a lot to the Ouija board. And, you know, I've been doing this work for nearly two decades. So here's the thing, is that with Ouija boards, it is a form of communication to the afterlife. And that could be connecting with your own loved ones, your guides, your angels, and not just entities, meaning like random spirits at a graveyard or random spirits of in your home. What people need to understand is that the Ouija board is a good tool, and it could be a bad tool if it's in the right hands of the right people. First of all, we have to learn how to open and close it, close the board. So you got to open it up with prayer, protection, and close it down correctly. We also have to ask for the highest of good intention and good vibration, good light that we want to bring in, meaning like our loved ones, our guides, our angels. But if you're looking to kind of bring up what I call a spiritual hitchhiker, which you get random spirits that come through, you don't want that. You want to close that board and shut it down immediately. I feel like with the board itself, it does have a bad reputation because of all the movies, all the horror stories that people have. But there are times that the Ouija board can be possessed, or can be, it can have an attachment, like the example with the lady that bought it at an antique store. That could actually have an attachment because it's an old energy, and there might be an attachment to that thing, which is one reason why I don't like antique shops or buying antiques or being around antiques, because it holds energy. It holds that vibration of the person that owned it at that time. It owns a vibration if people were fighting in that house and then you take on that new furniture. So there's a lot that happens there, but there are scary stories where the planchette will literally fly off the board, or people will have their like a cramp in their hand where they can't move it because it's stuck in their hand. That could be a form of kind of like a possession per se, but not going over the top in spooky Hollywood way, but a sense of possession that a spirit or a ghost is channeling and using your body physically to use that device or use a planchette to move it. Think of it like the movie Ghost, where Patrick Swayze or Sam Wheat jumps in the body of Oda Mae Brown and she channels Sam Wheat. It's that type of reference there. But I really believe if we have an understanding of the Ouija board, it's actually a good tool. It's not as dramatic, but I can tell you I've had a couple stories that are pretty crazy. And I don't know if I can share. Do you want me to share them?
let's wrap the Ouija board portion on the worst Ouija board horror story you've ever experienced or heard of.
Oh my God.
Okay. Me
and Maggie will never touch a Ouija board after this, I'm sure.
This is going to sound a little crazy. Well, God, worse. This is probably the top one. So I was doing a Ouija board session. This is about 5 years ago with my mentor and also my wife and my mentor's father. We're at the house and she brings up this big Ouija board. I mean, mine's pretty massive as well. And we were on this long table in the house. Like maybe it sits maybe 8 to 12 people, something along the lines. Beautiful table. Sturdy. She has a chandelier hanging over the top and we're all on the Ouija board and we're all using it. And at first, you know, I'm very skeptical because I have that perspective. Like I don't always believe everything. So I'm like, oh, she's moving it. You know, someone's moving it. And then afterwards we were both having just one finger on it and the things just started moving by itself. And so afterwards we stopped and said, no. I go like, is this right? She goes, no, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Right. Like when people say it's fine, they said it'll be fun. So we ended up getting actually like a glass, like what do you call them? Like a shooter glass or kind of like a
shot
tequila glass. Yeah. So we used that because that would actually move very quickly. So we got that, flipped it upside down, put our fingers on there because we were like, it's heavier. So it's going to be hard to push. Well, that thing actually flew off the table and actually broke on the floor. Well, all of a sudden the table started shaking. The chandelier started shaking. She was freaking out. We were all freaking out. The lights started dimming on and off. And you have to think, we're working from good light, good intention. We're working with positivity. And we kind of summoned something. And we immediately kind of put everything off. And the lights were still kind of like, or her chandelier was still swaying. And we're thinking like, was it an earthquake? What was going on? Weird thing that happened after we put the Ouija board away, her father who was there, and this doesn't sound a little weird, he was missing a tooth. Like he was missing a tooth and it was like an implant and they couldn't find it for weeks. And all of a sudden the tooth, we hear something drop on the table, like boop. His tooth was on the table where the Ouija board was at. Don't know how it got there, the implant, and we freaked out. That's probably one of the creepiest stories I've had. But I you had to be there to experience that. And we couldn't debunk it. I mean, we're very rational people, but we didn't feel it was evil, but something was trying to get our attention when that came in. When that table started shaking, the chandelier started moving, the lights started going on and off. I can't explain it.
Tooth lands on the table.
Yeah. That was bizarre because he was looking for his implant because he got that done and all of a sudden the tooth just appeared. Like we hear dump, and we call that an apport, basically where spirit drops things or places things. And sometimes apports are given typically in seances where they will drop flowers or coins and things of that nature. So if you do real seances and build that energy up, there will be apports that will appear in seance sessions.
Good Lord. All right, no more Ouija boards for me.
My God. Yeah, when all that stuff was happening with my door, I actually had a Ouija board in the house. And after that, I threw it away. Like, I was like, I'm never, even as a joke, like, I'm never doing this ever again. So I threw it away.
Could that have had something to do with it, AJ? Like, if the board wasn't closed properly the last time she used it, maybe, or?
Oh, absolutely. And it could be also the energy of the person that used it. So if you've never really used it or different people used it, they didn't shut it down correctly or close it correctly, typically that could be some sort of attachment, not usually evil all the time, but you could have left that door open for that energy to come in and out basically through that Ouija board. And they don't have to use a board to communicate. That was just a door that you opened up to the spirits or to the ethers and kind of say like, all welcome. And basically they were all welcome in your apartment basically. And they were staying there rent free basically.
My God. Well, good it's Lord. Gone. I got rid of it.
How do you properly close a Ouija board? That'll be my final question on the Ouija. You say properly close it. What does that mean?
Yeah. So the way I would close any Ouija board is through prayer. Or a saying. So if it's by saying the Our Father or doing whatever religion that or saying that you have, or either one, if it's a saying, just saying like, I open up to the heavens or to the afterlife, and I want to thank you guys for coming through and accepting this energy and coming through and working with us in a very positive light. We shut this down, and what we're working with is obviously good light, good intention. So you always want to end something very positive, giving gratitude and giving thanks to that energy, even if nothing came through, because we don't really know if anything actually will come through in a Ouija board session, but you always want to give thanks and offering and knowing that it comes from good light and good intention. So obviously when you close down this board, just kind of bless it and kind of shut it down yourself, sit there for a minute, and then you can store it away. Other people, sometimes they will bless it with sage or holy water or Palo Santo, and then they'll pack it away. But you know, for me, my Ouija board is sitting right in my living room. Like I don't use it that often unless I'm actually sitting in circle with people. But I always tell people, just make sure you close it with the right intention, open it up with right intention with a prayer or meditation, and shut it right back down.
All right, Maggie, any questions of AJ before we kind of wrap this up? I do have another question, but yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Producer Tara, if you want to open your screen here as well so I can see you. There's four people on this podcast right now. Of course, AJ, Maggie, me, Tara, who is a producer of this. Any of us. You do readings all the time, AJ. Do you see anyone? I mean, is anyone coming through?
Yeah, you know, I feel like maybe for Tara or for Maggie, but you know, I feel like with one of them, when you guys logged on, I feel like there was an older male figure that was stepping forward here right off the bat. And I don't know if this is either dad's side of the family, but I feel like there's an older gentleman that is coming through that recognizes as if he wanted to come through. They're also maybe if like the month of July is significant, either a birthday or anniversary is connected here, who they want to acknowledge or who they want to validate here. So I would see this as like basically dad's dad or dad's uncle, but I feel like it's an older vibration that's definitely coming through. My impression here also feels like that he may have actually passed with either something like emphysema or cardiovascular that also comes up here that is connected with him. Does that make sense?
Well, that's crazy. Tara, I don't think it would be for me.
My grandpa died of stomach cancer.
Okay. I feel like there had to been something here that he's bringing up here as if like emphysema or something happened here that he's trying to bring up here as if he took his last breath, or he's just bringing up here as if he just left. What I can bring here for the grandfather figure, he was talking about the month of July or the 7th of a month being significant. So what's July or the 7th of a month being significant here? Either the birthday or death anniversary, what's the significance?
I don't know. I have to ask my parents, but that I don't know off the top of my head.
Just make note of it because it might be his way acknowledging himself or acknowledging either for mom or dad, the grandfather who they're acknowledging here. But I feel like that he wants to come through to recognize you. What's interesting here with the grandfather figure, he's mainly feeling as if he wants to like pull you apart. So I don't know if it means like you did not have a really close connection or you couldn't really say goodbye to him before he passed over. But he wants to recognize like there's no goodbyes, and there's a way that he taps on his heart that he wants to give you the love and give you the appreciation, because I feel like that your grandfather becomes this sense of inspiration and motivation very randomly for you. It's not like that you think about him quite often, but those moments when he comes through, you're like, oh, that's cool. And he wants to say, that's me. Because I feel like there's something that you have done in writing. Like, I don't know if you wrote about him or you did something in writing of him, but he's saying like he receives your letters or receives the writing. So I don't know if this is on the phone or if it's on a notebook, but he wants to recognize that. Does that make sense? Okay. I just know this is a love from your grandfather when he comes through to recognize you and saying thank you so much, because I feel like there's a way with him that he really wants to be here with you, because I just feel like that he's saying like, I want to make sure my baby girl is okay. And I feel like the reason why he comes through is that perhaps you could have been the favorite one, the favorite granddaughter or the favorite grandchild. But I just feel like as if he wants to tap in his heart and saying like he expresses this love and validation for you, because I really believe it's his way of understanding that he's not in pain. He's not suffering. He doesn't have any of the stomach stuff, but it's more of just saying like, I just took my last breath. Like I just went to sleep. And I just feel like there's a moment of peace that he wants to give you and the family that he's not suffering. Just so see this as your grandfather's way, sending love and acknowledging you, but also thanking you for being here today as well.
Sorry. Thank you for that. I've lost both my grandpas. So I think it was my dad's dad.
Dad's side. Yeah. I feel like it's dad's side.
I was closer to my grandpa on my mom's side, but I think it might be 7 years since his passing, if that's the right number.
Okay.
I think it was 7 years because I was in college and I wasn't close to him, and I was he only spoke Farsi and Persian, and I'm the only grandchild out of five who was able to communicate with him. so I think it's him, and I was never that close with him just because of like, he doesn't communicate properly. Like, I think we just never had anything in common, but he meant a lot to me and I didn't expect me to sit. It's really funny because I was telling JoJo I had kind of a sign, I think, come, I don't know if it was a sign, but from my mom's dad. I had a family friend who I haven't talked to in 2 years who texted me a picture of his grave because her dad is buried next to my grandpa. And that was like, I haven't talked to her in 2 years. And she sent me that text and I was like, whoa, this is weird. But I think the grandpa that you're talking about is my dad's dad. And I think this year is 7 years of his passing, but I don't know July. So I have to figure that out.
Wow. That is, you know, that is a validation in itself, but also today it's part of synchronicity, how things are supposed to happen today. Like this was supposed to happen for all of us here to be here at this very moment. And I think this is why your grandfather is recognizing that he still has that special connection with you. Like you're still his favorite grandchild. It's not just because you can speak with him, but he's still speaking with you today. So I want to encourage you to bridge that communication, talk to him, thank him today. I believe things fall in line the right way because he was going to make himself known to you, but don't feel guilty. Don't feel upset because you couldn't really communicate with him or you didn't have a close connection because he's here today to show that connection and that love is real today, that he's only a thought away.
Thank you. Wow. I have nothing else to say.
That's okay.
Well, Maggie and all, just for the record, anyone listening, I didn't tell AJ anything about you, Tara. Anything. The only thing I mentioned was Maggie was coming on. I didn't say anything about nothing.
That, and you know, it's how the spirit world works. And I think it all happens for the right reasons. Usually I know where I'm at. Even when I do my Zoom events, I can always pick like I'm with this person or that person. It works the same way. And that's why I said I'm either with one of the girls. And if something comes through, I'll be honest and say like I'm not picking up anything or I'm not coming through. But I feel like right in the beginning, once we hopped on that Zoom call, probably because I saw your face first, Tara before Maggie's, is probably why I connected with her rather than Maggie. But I just feel like it's part of how spirit it wants to come through, but just see this as, you know, their way of expressing their love and gratitude towards you today in a very beautiful way.
Maggie's got the poltergeist to deal with anyway, so
yeah.
she'll be busy. Hey, well, let me just wrap it up by saying thank you to of course producer Tara for sharing that, and that was just I don't know what we just experienced, but that was pretty mind-blowing. Yeah. And Maggie, thank you so much for jumping on, sharing your story, and if any more knocks and pings, let's get AJ on the Zoom and let's run through the house, you know, virtually.
Right.
Going on, because
I will. I'll let you know. Hopefully not.
And with the mirrors in your house, you know, that when he started talking about the mirror, I'm like, oh my God.
I know. I've heard that like if you have a mirror, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard like if you have a mirror facing your bed, like that's not really good.
There's two things. That's a little feng shui, but also a little paranormal as well. So just kind of be aware of that. My wife specifically rearranged the room because of that, you know, and even too, she even covers her mirrors at night, like on her vanity, because she's like, I don't want anything. I don't want to see anything that reflection at night.
Just like bolted into the wall. Like I can't remove it. So I'm about to start covering it up at night. My boyfriend's going to be like, what is going on?
Right.
There's demons trying to connect with me.
Have him sleep closer to the mirror. You just be, as long as he's between you and it, you're good.
I sleep right on this side too. So I am close to the mirror.
Perfect.